Welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your study tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics on your paper, marketing. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or any other board, this episode will give you everything you need to walk into that exam with confidence. Grab a pen and paper because we're going to cover a lot of ground, and I want you to jot down the key points as we go. That active note-taking is going to help you remember so much more. Let's start with the big picture. What actually is marketing? At its core, marketing is about identifying and satisfying customer needs at a profit. Notice that phrase, identifying and satisfying. Examiners love to see candidates demonstrate that marketing isn't just about selling. It begins long before a product even exists. A business first needs to understand what customers want, and then it designs products and services to meet those needs. This is what we call a market-oriented approach. The alternative, where a business makes a product and then tries to sell it, is called product-oriented. Most modern businesses are market-oriented, and examiners will credit you for understanding that distinction. Now, how does a business find out what customers want? Through market research. There are two types you absolutely must know: primary research and secondary research. Primary research is information collected firsthand, directly from customers or potential customers. Think about surveys, questionnaires, focus groups, interviews, and observation. The key advantage of primary research is that it's specific to your exact question. It's fresh, relevant, and tailored. The downside? It can be expensive and time-consuming. Secondary research, on the other hand, uses data that already exists. Government statistics, trade journals, competitor websites, market reports from companies like Mintel. These are all secondary sources. Secondary research is cheaper and quicker, but it might not be perfectly relevant to your specific business question. Here's a really common mistake I see candidates make: confusing primary and secondary research. Remember this. Primary means you collected it first. Secondary means it was collected by someone else before you. A simple way to remember: primary is personal, secondary is someone else's. Within these two types, we also distinguish between qualitative and quantitative data. Quantitative data is numerical, percentages, sales figures, survey results with numbers. Qualitative data is opinion-based. It tells you why customers feel a certain way. For example, a survey showing that 68% of customers prefer online shopping is quantitative. A focus group where customers explain that they find in-store shopping stressful is qualitative. Both are valuable, and examiners will reward candidates who can explain the difference and justify which type is more appropriate in a given scenario. Next up, market segmentation. This is the process of dividing a market into groups of customers who share similar characteristics. The four main bases for segmentation are age, gender, income, and location. For example, a luxury car brand like Rolls-Royce would segment by income, targeting high net worth individuals. A children's toy company would segment by age. A regional newspaper would segment by location. The purpose of segmentation is to allow a business to target its marketing mix more precisely, which means less wasted spend and better conversion rates. Examiners expect you to be able to apply segmentation to a specific business context, so always link your answer back to the scenario given. Now let's get into the heart of this topic: the marketing mix, also known as the four P's. These are product, price, place, and promotion. Every marketing decision a business makes falls into one of these four categories. And crucially, they must all work together. Examiners frequently penalize candidates who treat the four P's as separate, unrelated decisions. They are integrated. A change in one P should influence the others. Let's take each one in turn. Product. This refers to the good or service being sold. Key concepts here include the unique selling point, or USP. What makes this product different from competitors? Also important is branding, packaging, and the product range. A strong brand like Apple creates customer loyalty and allows premium pricing. When discussing product, think about what the product does, how it's designed, and how it's differentiated. Price. There are five pricing strategies you must know for GCSE. First, price skimming, setting a high price initially, then lowering it over time. This is used for innovative products like a new games console. Second, penetration pricing, setting a low price to enter a market and attract customers quickly. Think about a new streaming service offering a cheap introductory deal. Third, competitive pricing, setting your price in line with competitors, common in markets where products are similar, like petrol stations. Fourth, cost plus pricing, calculating the cost of production and adding a percentage profit margin. Simple and ensures profitability. Fifth, loss leader pricing, selling a product below cost to attract customers who will then buy other, more profitable items. Supermarkets do this with essentials like bread and milk. A critical examiner tip here. When you're asked to justify a pricing strategy, always consider both the impact on revenue and the impact on brand image. A luxury brand using penetration pricing might damage its premium perception. That's the kind of nuanced thinking that earns the top marks. Place, this is about how the product gets from the producer to the customer, the distribution channel. Options include selling directly to consumers through your own website or shop, using a retailer, using a wholesaler, or a combination. The rise of e-commerce has transformed this element of the mix. Businesses like ASOS operate entirely online, reducing costs associated with physical stores. M-commerce, mobile commerce, takes this further, with customers purchasing via smartphones and apps. Examiners expect you to evaluate the advantages and disadvantages of different channels for a specific business. Promotion. This covers all the ways a business communicates with its target market. Methods include advertising on TV, radio, or social media, public relations, sales promotions like discounts and buy one, get one free offers, personal selling, and sponsorship. The key here is always to match the promotional method to the target market. If you're targeting teenagers, social media and influencer marketing makes sense. If you're targeting older professionals, LinkedIn or trade publications might be more appropriate. Examiners reward candidates who justify their choice of promotional method with reference to the target market. Now let's talk about the product life cycle. Every product goes through four stages: introduction, growth, maturity, and decline. At introduction, sales are low, costs are high, and the business may be making a loss. Heavy promotion is needed to build awareness. At growth, sales rise rapidly, the product becomes profitable, and competitors may start to enter the market. At maturity, sales peak and stabilize. The market may become saturated. At decline, sales fall, perhaps because of changing tastes, new technology, or stronger competition. The really important concept here is extension strategies, actions taken to prolong the maturity stage and prevent or delay decline. Examples include updating the product's design, finding new markets, reducing the price, or increasing promotional activity. Think about how Coca-Cola has used new variants, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Cherry Coke, to extend the life of the brand. The Boston Matrix is a tool businesses use to analyze their product portfolio. It categorizes products into four groups based on market share and market growth rate. Stars have high market share and high market growth. They're successful but require investment to maintain their position. Cash cows have high market share but low market growth. They generate lots of profit with little investment needed. Question marks have low market share but high market growth. They could become stars with investment, or they could fail. Dogs have low market share and low market growth. They may need to be withdrawn from the market. Examiners love the Boston Matrix because it tests your ability to analyze a business's product portfolio and make strategic recommendations. Always justify your answer. Don't just identify the category. Explain what the business should do next and why. Right, let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where I want you to really pay attention because these are the things that separate a grade 7 from a grade 9. Common mistake number 1, confusing primary and secondary research. I've already mentioned this, but it comes up so often it's worth repeating. Primary is firsthand. Secondary is existing data. If a question gives you a scenario and asks which type of research a business should use, always justify your answer with reference to the specific situation. Common mistake number 2, treating the 4 P's as independent. They're not. A premium product needs a premium price, premium distribution, and premium promotion. If you recommend penetration pricing for a luxury brand, you've contradicted yourself. Examiners will spot this immediately. Common mistake number 3, not linking back to the target market. Every marketing decision should be justified with reference to who the business is trying to reach. If the target market is young people aged 16 to 24, social media advertising makes sense because that demographic spends significant time on platforms like Instagram and TikTok. Always make that explicit link. Common mistake number 4, vague answers on pricing strategies. Saying, the business should use competitive pricing is not enough. You need to explain why. What is the competitive environment like? What are the implications for revenue? What does it mean for brand image? Common mistake number 5, ignoring the integrated nature of the marketing mix when a product moves through its life cycle. At introduction, you might use price skimming and heavy advertising. At maturity, you might switch to competitive pricing and focus on loyalty schemes. Show the examiner you understand that the mix evolves. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause briefly, and then give you the answer. Cover your notes and test yourself. Question 1. What are the 4 stages of the product life cycle? The answer is introduction, growth, maturity, and decline. Question 2. Name 3 methods of primary market research. The answer is surveys, focus groups, and interviews, though observation and experiments are also valid. Question 3. What does a cash cow in the Boston Matrix have? The answer is high market share and low market growth. Question 4. What is penetration pricing? The answer is setting a low price when entering a market to attract customers quickly. Question 5. Name 2 bases for market segmentation. The answer could be age, gender, income, or location. Any 2 are correct. Question 6. What is the difference between e-commerce and m-commerce? E-commerce is buying and selling online via a computer or website. M-commerce specifically refers to transactions made via mobile devices like smartphones. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes before your next revision session. Let's wrap up with a summary. Marketing is about identifying and satisfying customer needs. Market research, both primary and secondary, helps businesses understand their customers. Segmentation allows businesses to target specific groups effectively. The 4 P's, product, price, place, and promotion, must work together as an integrated mix. The product life cycle shows how sales change over time and extension strategies can prolong the maturity stage. The Boston Matrix helps businesses analyze their product portfolio and make strategic decisions. In your exam, always link marketing decisions to the target market and business objectives. Use data where you can, percentages, specific examples, named businesses. Justify every recommendation you make. And remember, the examiner wants to see that you can apply your knowledge to a specific business context, not just recite definitions. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!